Joining us today is Hudson Mohawk Magazine producer Caitlin McPherson.
Welcome. Hello. Hi.
Your voice is maybe possibly recognizable because you're a pretty regular host on this program.
Yes, Monday night host and fill in other days.
How long have you been with Hudson Mohawk Magazine, and why are you interested, or what got you interested in being a part of this program?
So it's almost a year now. Probably I would have started the second week of September a year ago. Wow, almost a year. I was at the New School Center for Media, and I was looking for an internship, and the pandemic was in full-blown raging fury, and so it was very hard to find an internship because all the commercial radio stations were like, we don't want to do any internships. We don't want any extra people in the studio right now. We'll let you know when we're ready to do interns. So I sat there. We waited. Nobody. And then I asked my teacher, and he recommended the Sanctuary because he had done work for you guys. So I interned, and I didn't really know much about you guys. And I fell into this community, and I fell in love with the community because, you know, it's different than commercial news. You tell stories that are rarely heard on commercial news.
Can you talk a little bit more about not coming into the Sanctuary, not knowing what the Sanctuary really is, the Sanctuary for Independent Media? What have you learned about this organization that you think is really important for others to understand?
We work within the Sanctuary. So WOOC is within the Sanctuary. So I work with WOOC, Hudson Mohawk Magazine. But what I've learned is when you're interviewing somebody, you always hear in the news, you hear them, and they're trying to make them say what they want. And that's not what news reporting is. It's getting what their side of the story is, what they think about this, what they see. And like in Palestine, I've interviewed tons of people and what they think, how to solve the problem or help in Palestine. So
yeah, on that,
that's just my experience.
You've been doing a lot of coverage on the Albany rallies in support of Palestinians. Is this something that you were active in before, or has this reporting given you a better vocabulary on the situation?
I barely knew anything about it. And then I met a friend through a mutual friend who is Palestinian, and he was an activist, but he had kind of taken a break with the pandemic. And then he started doing protests, and I said, I'll come out and start covering it for the Sanctuary, because I hadn't seen it anywhere on the news. Like if you look on the news for Palestinian stuff, it's rarely covered. And if it is covered, it's covered from the point of the Israelis. And so I felt that I had to take on this story and interview it from the point of the Palestinians and what's going on in Palestine from their point of view.
And you've continued on it, which is...
Yes.
So what are some of the other stories that you're really interested in covering?
Is radio dying? I'm working with that on that, getting some interviews where I interview radio stations to see how they are faring through the pandemic, what the future of radio is, and is radio dying? Is it a dying medium? I don't think it's a dying medium. I think it's changing differently with the times and stuff, but it's still there. And I don't think it'll die anytime soon.
So you went to radio school, and now you're working on this series, Is Radio Dying? What is your fascination and connection to radio? What attracts you to it?
So when I came out of high school, I did not actually started going into aviation. I had no interest in radio. I mean, I had interest in acting, but never really connected those. Did aviation school for 4 months, decided it wasn't what I wanted to do. I left college. I worked for a little while, and I found this new school for radio. And I said, I like acting. I like working with technology. I'll do this, because I had worked the news station at my high school. I said it fits right with what I want to do. And so I did it, and I fell in love with it. You get to act. You know, you use your voice for acting, you know, you tell stories if you're doing news, if you're on commercial radio, doing radio DJ, you get to listen to music and give facts about music and tell little interesting stories. And so it's just an interesting thing I fell in love with through the New School Center for Media. You know, I never knew the behind the scenes stuff and what goes into it until I went to school. And so it really changes your point of view on it.
And you started to do hosting before you were producing segments. Could you talk a little bit more about being a bit of a personality on our radio show?
Yes. I started probably last December, probably was one of my first shows. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I really hadn't done a full-blown hosting of a show or anything. So I was like, you know, when you first host, it's very scary. You know, you're like, am I going to mess up? And from what I've learned through the sanctuary, but also through school, if you mess up, most of the time your listeners won't know that you're going to mess up. You can quickly fix the mistake and keep moving. You know, half the time, you know, your listener's not going to know. But it's also very fun. You get to have fun with your co-host. If you have a co-host, you can bounce off each other and make jokes. And it's always a very positive hosting experience.
That's good. Yeah, we do have fun. And so for listeners, this is a volunteer-produced show. The coordination is a paid position, but all of the radio segments are done by volunteer work and time. You don't need to have experience to get involved. So, Caitlin, you've kind of seen the evolution over this past year. It's basically been a year now. What would you say for people who are interested in being a part of the radio, and who is the radio for?
Anybody. I mean, anybody could jump in and start producing segments or even hosting. When I went to school, my teacher always said, you know, anybody can get into radio, you know. Even if you don't have a good radio voice, you can learn to have a good radio voice. You don't even need a good radio voice to be on the radio, actually. You know, I just learned how I have a good
radio
voice.
You're just natural.
Well, natural, but I also went through school and I had a good vocal teacher in the school. So he helped me learn how to work my voice. So that helped a little bit. But anybody can get into radio, you know.
What about somebody who doesn't want to be in media, but what if somebody's interested in science or art or history or whatever and doesn't necessarily want to go into media? How would you say that working and volunteering with this radio program can also be a real advantage to their research and understanding of the work that they're doing?
If you're doing history, science, so on and so forth, you can use your platform to tell stories about history, science, art, you know, even doing my interviews, I've learned so much about the history of Palestine, right? I'm telling stories about Palestine. You know, I have interest in history. And so I was trying when I came in to take history and somehow connect it into media. And I did that through Palestine. And so you can find all these connections in producing media in history and science and art and so on and so forth. You can make anything into an interview, literally anything I have found.
Where do you want to go from here? What are your hopes and dreams for yourself in the next few years?
Well, for the last year and a half now, I've been trying to get a job in radio that's a paying job instead of working where I currently work and try to be either hosting or working a board somewhere. That's what I hope for myself. Maybe one day, If I can get my foot in the door as a board operator, and I'll work my way up and becoming a host, you know, and I've always said I'll stay with the sanctuary because I love the community and I love what I do here.
That's right. We all have full-time jobs and create these segments in addition to the other work that we do.
Yes. As you can imagine, we're working around our schedules to produce content while working. It's a lot to juggle, but we do it.
Could you briefly talk about one of your favorite experiences working on a radio program for this show?
I guess one of my favorite interviews I did was one of the first Palestinian protests I went to. I went out and I met one of our other correspondents, and it was one of my first going out into the field ones. We had been doing all of our stuff from home. And so I was like, you know, I was worried about COVID. I was worried about everything. But once I got out there and I started interviewing people, it was just all these stories. I was amazed how people are willing to talk to me, some independent or media organization. You know, I always thought people wouldn't want to talk to me because hatred over news and they didn't want to talk to some news guy, but it's not true. And so when I went home and I started producing this segment, I just fell in love with producing this segment. That's when I was hooked. I was hooked as soon as I finished that interview. I said, this is what I want to do.
And we will link to that interview in the description to this interview. Thank you, Caleb McPherson, for joining us. We will be hearing your voice on the radio.
You're welcome.